Some of my favorite stories or books or video games or movies that I remember the most are most memorable because of the main character and how much I can either like them or relate to them. I think one of the examples that I think of most is The Good Dinosaur. And in The Good Dinosaur, we get so much backstory of our main character, Arlo, and how he was weak and his family kind of didn't look favorably upon him because he couldn't really help out with all the work around their farm that they had. And as you go through the movie, the progression of him developing this strength and this independence really makes you feel for that character and makes you feel like you know that character because you've seen the good and the bad in their lives. And that's typically done, like I said, by creating backstory. And sometimes it just makes sense, like the director will lay it out for you or the book will just lay it out for you what's happened. And sometimes there's just really random flashbacks in the middle of the story. And you kind of look at them and wonder, well, why does that even matter? Or why is that even pertinent to the story? And maybe you felt that in your life too. Maybe you go through something or have something happening either right now or have had it happen. And in that moment, it's like, why is this happening? What does this mean? And what I'm talking about is these difficulties that we face in our lives. And at some point, they're going to be part of our backstory. But for the most of us right now, they're affecting our right now. They're affecting how we live our lives and the things that we can do. And what I'm talking about is things like when a friend suddenly dies, or when a family member gets a diagnosis, or when your bad habits start to become too much to handle and they're controlling you, or when your senior year gets cut off because of a crazy pandemic. And a lot of the times in these situations, instead of asking, what do we do? First, we often ask, why? And I think that that's because in the moment, all of these things really don't make sense. We can't really see why they're happening. And like I said, sometimes you see the point after the fact. Like you see when a friendship ends, after the fact, you can see that it wasn't really a healthy friendship for you. Or you can see when your coach is calling you out at practice, you can see after that that he saw potential in you and wanted to see what you could do. So that is true, but most of the time, when we're in the middle of something, we can't really see why it's happening, and it seems kind of pointless. And there's usually not very many good answers. And unlike the movies, our difficulties don't always have a really nice bow, tied on them at the end of them. But what we can do with the difficulties in our lives, is that we can look to other people's stories to see how they handled them. And that's why today we're going to be looking at the story of Joseph. So the youth group's been going through his story for the past few weeks. But to recap, basically, he had these dreams and he was his dad's favorite, right? And then his brothers became very, very jealous, thought they were going to kill him, decided to kill him. And then one of them, stood up for him and said, no, let's not kill him. But then they sold him into slavery and then reported back to their father. Their father thinks he's dead. And then he starts working for this guy named Potiphar and he's doing all right. But then lies get started about him. And next thing you know, he finds himself in prison. And if anyone had the right to ask, what is the point in all of this? I think Joseph did. So what we're going to look at today is how that positioning affected the rest of his life. So if you will join me, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 40, and we're going to start with verses 1 through 3. And this is what the word of the Lord says. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. So basically, these two guys were nice and comfortable, and they were working for the king. And next thing they know, they found themselves in prison. And that's because Pharaoh was calling the shots. He was kind of important. If you keep going, it says, the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So this is what Joseph does. He first off honors God. So even in the middle of prison, when he's in possibly one of the lowest parts of his life, he still honors God and acknowledges God's power and his strength in his life. And then he goes and does what God's given him the strength and the power to do. And the cool part about this is if you keep reading, what Joseph interprets in their dreams actually happens. And, you know, the cupbearer, his turns out all right. He ends up going back to work for Pharaoh. The baker, not so much, but you can read about that. And the thing that happens is that after this point, the cupbearer completely forgets about Joseph. And Joseph is in the same place that he was in. He's still in prison. And 2 years later, after all this has happened, then Pharaoh has some dreams and nobody could interpret them. And it was at this time that the cupbearer remembered Joseph from jail 2 years ago. And what happened is Joseph got to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh and even became second in charge of Egypt and was raised to this humongous spot of responsibility 2 years later. Now, surely in those 2 years, Joseph had to at some point think, what's the point of all of this? I'm still in this position. I don't know what's going on, and everything just doesn't seem like it has a point. And you see, his life wasn't perfect automatically, but we see that Joseph doesn't allow his position to own him, but instead he uses his challenging position to do something great. He uses the position that he's in and does what he can do in that position and allows God to use it. And the same's true for you and me. You see, just because something happens, a difficulty happens in your life, it doesn't mean that God caused it or even that he wants that for you. But what it does mean is when it seems like things are impossible and things don't make sense and we can't really grasp a situation, we can remember God is really good at doing the impossible. You see, in Romans, Paul writes about this. In Romans 8, verse 28, the scripture says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." You see, God is in the business of taking our hurt and our pain and our difficulties and redeeming those. And what I'm trying to say here is your problems and your difficulties can position you for a purpose. God can take that position that you're in and make purpose out of it. Sometimes the hardest and the worst things that we experience grow us the most. And the hope today and the good news for all of us is that hard times and difficulties and things that we don't expect are not the end of the story. In fact, most of the time, they're a springboard for something so much greater that God can do. So what I want you to understand today and to take from this is that there's two things that you can remember in the middle of difficulty when you can't see the big picture like God sees it. You can remember no one else out there has your story, that your story is unique, and that the difficulties and the struggles that you go through are unique, and they grow you to be the person that you're going to become. And number two, your story can interact with other people's stories, meaning even though your story is unique, there are people out there going through similar situations, and God can build you and grow you through those things in a way where you can help others through what they're going through. And because of what you go through, you can help others. And that is why when you find yourself in a position where it makes no sense, it's like that flashback in the middle of the movie that has no context, you can be reminded that God does see the big picture and he's positioning you for a greater purpose. You see, God took Joseph's impossibly bad situation and used it for incredible good, even to the point where Joseph got to end up saving his whole entire family because of the position that he was placed in. And he can do the same thing for you with your difficulties. So what if God's positioning you for something that you can't even imagine yet? And what if the first step is simply asking him for his help?